Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to Propaganda, the show where we find out what's been said and done in the world of football across this week. I'm Dan, Michael's here, and so is Moscow White, Daniel Chapman. He's waving at the camera. You'll know that if you're on YouTube. If you're not, you'll find this on YouTube.
You'll also know he's got a great shirt on.
He has. It's one of the Kick sportswear t-shirts, sort of early 90s era.
With a label on the sleeve to prove it, ironed on. May need a bit of ironing to keep it on in future, but maybe if I just don't make any wild arm movements, sit very still.
Good. This show is brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors. They are our long-time sponsor here on the show, and that's nice of them to stick with us despite everything.
They must be, because I can see on the sheet in front of me, because there's a fact written. They said they must be long-term sponsors because over 600 houses have been bought and sold for Square Ball people over the years.
But what service are they using, though?
That will be probate. No, it'll be conveyancing.
Oh, you nearly have me then.
I know it so well.
Your little tinker.
Is it 600 people or is it just one person who's very indecisive about where they want to live?
Just a super fan of the podcast, just desperate to support us, just constantly turning over houses.
Flipping properties just so they can get 10% off every time.
Yeah, 10% discount on your legal fees, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Into the show, and what was always likely to be a difficult propaganda, there's always a little bit of a kind of, oh my God, what do we do now when Leeds decide to lose 4-0 in the most crucial game of the season?
Well, it was the most crucial game since the last one, wasn't it? And the one before that, any of which we could have won and just been promoted.
Choked every time.
Yeah, I suppose we did beat Middlesbrough, didn't we? That's true.
Yeah, that's true. And we're recording on Tuesday morning now, ahead of the Coventry versus Ipswich showdown. So the mood is, I don't want to say flat, what I'm going to say is it's even at this stage, because we don't know what's happened yet. It may get flat, it may get exciting, we don't know, do we?
And if it does get exciting, we're just waiting for the drop again, aren't we?
Yeah, I have fully resigned myself to the playoffs now. I just want you to know that. It's okay. It's fine.
I mean, there's a chance we'll win them.
What is that chance, though?
It should be at least 1 in 4. And because we've lost a few times in the playoffs before, statistically, we are more likely to. That's a mathematical fact.
Well, you know those daft lads at the BBC? BBC Radio Leeds, they do a podcast apparently, so I've heard, and they mentioned, or someone told me they mentioned, because I didn't listen to it, obviously, mentioned on the most recent one, 36% of teams who finish third go up in the playoffs. So better than that. So it's a 1 in 3 shot, Michael, statistically speaking anyway. That doesn't add in the Leeds United factor. Tell me why the Leeds United factor is wrong, Moscow.
You need to be clearer on the question.
The question is, tell me why Leeds United are going to go up in the playoffs and not choke horrendously, because if it's a 36% statistical chance, that doesn't factor in Leeds United. How do Leeds United affect this number?
I still don't understand the question.
Tell me Leeds are going to go up, Moscow.
Well, I don't think we are. So I'm not going to sit and lie.
I feel like you've gone desperately off brand there, because you're supposed to be the positive one here.
I am being positive.
Oh.
The club will still be, isn't going to be closed down. That's a good thing. There'll still be a team next season.
It's supposed to be Armageddon, isn't it, if we don't go up? I think the world ends.
No, it'll be fine. My prediction is that we will beat Southampton on Saturday, finish third, lose in the semi-finals of the playoffs, and then win the league next year.
Same as last time, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I probably would take that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because it was fun last year, wasn't it? And if we go up, it's not going to be any good.
No, going up in second's a bit rubbish, and then going up in London is also a bit lame.
Is it? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it never looks great.
Yeah. I don't know, I've only ever looked on with tears in my eyes as other people celebrate playoff wins, so...
How many times have we been in the playoffs? So, 1987.
The first year that they existed.
Yep.
We were in under Grayson, under Blackwell, and
Yeah, so it was
McAllister, was it, in 2008?
Yes.
It was against Birmingham 87 and then 2006.
Against Charlton in Birmingham, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. And then at 2006, we lost to Watford in the final. And then 2008, we got to the final against Doncaster and lost.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember that.
2009, we got to the semi-finals against Millwall.
Lost.
And lost, but we had the great moment with Becchio scoring from Ben Parker's cross. And then Derby, 2019.
So five times.
Yeah, five defeats. Yeah. So.
Ah, sweet memories.
Yeah.
We've got a bit of Millwall coming up, actually.
All right, okay.
We do get some sweet memories because Becchio's goal is a great memory, no matter what happened later. And also, the Derby playoff defeat is still one of the best games I've ever been to.
It's definitely a memory, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll always remember that night. Yeah.
Like the Blitz. Wasn't great while it was happening, but you can reflect on it with glory.
I have reframed my thinking around that a little bit. Thinking like now, sometimes mad shit just happens in football. And there's nothing you can do to explain it. It just sometimes happens. Wild things happen. And the season after, yeah, was just brilliant, wasn't it? As a result of that madness unfolding. So I'll take it in the lot, sort of longer, wider sense.
Which is why, although I don't like, that is my prediction. Saturday could still, I mean, imagine Ipswich losing to Huddersfield.
I mean, you were just saying that Huddersfield's manager may have walked out there.
Yeah, well, he's deleted all his Huddersfield references from his Instagram. It's the modern way, everybody. It's the modern way. Deleted all references and stuff to Huddersfield on his Instagram profile. So that suggests it's not unfolding well for him there.
Is Lee Bromby still there, director of football?
Maybe that Cartwright fella will take over for the last game.
Old Moon Features.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, Carmichael.
Carmichael, that's it, sorry. Yeah, he stopped tweeting about Huddersfield altogether, hasn't he?
It's mad, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Recent weeks. He's just more of a basketball fan, it seems, these days.
That's the other thing. Like, I've had to sort of park all the bookmarks I had from Leicester, like, saved on Twitter. Just keeping them all for a bit now. Like, because they've gone a little bit, they've gone to town on the I Predict a Riot, and I Predict the Playoffs, which I think is a great burn, by the way. They were singing that.
It's fair enough,
isn't it? Yeah, no, it's good. I think so.
It's not a good rendition of it, though.
No.
Bromby's not their head of football anymore. The first, like, 20 seconds, it's a pretty simple tune. But the first 20 seconds from the Leicester dressing room, I defy anybody to work out what it is they're singing until it then gets into the chorus. Mm. And there's, oh, so I Predict Right. And then there's clearly...
See, I've not seen any of this.
The video cuts then when it's getting into a verse and they clearly don't know any of the words after that point. So I think it's one of those things where they've all kind of gone like, you know what, we'll show it to Leeds. We're going to sing that song. Right, who knows it? We'll just do that bit. And then the steam kind of goes out of it. And then they just sort of have to realise.
It's like Auld Lang Syne, isn't it? Everybody just goes, for Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
So I've had to basically save all those bookmarks for maybe 12 months' time. Depends when the points deduction lands next year. We'll see about that. Mm. And we'll maybe throw it back in the faces. I was going to say, similarly, the Huddersfield ones. Just keeping the powder dry on all those. And
I mean, Huddersfield have gone down.
They have, but it feels like we can't necessarily point and laugh at them too much until we know our own fate. I think that's all just hanging in the balance.
There was a relief in knowing whatever happens, we're not going to have to play them again next year, though, I have to say.
Contrary to what their PA announcer said at the end of the game, we'll see you next year. No, you won't.
They did say that.
Did you see the picture of Terry the Terrier slumped by the corner flag?
No.
It's a great picture. I was like, one of my favourite pictures is of the old Terry the Terrier where he looked like Bungle off of
Rainbow.
They made him all sexy for a year, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, but so before that, there's a great photo of him celebrating a goal with probably Andy Booth that looks as if he's just another player. And then, yeah, there was the year when he was sexy, and then now he's just kind of, he just looks like a dog, which in Huddersfield, probably still the same thing.
I've just Googled sexy Bungle.
And then,
Should have done it on private browsing.
There's a photo from the game of some fans with their heads in their hands, and yeah, the dog is just slumped. All 8 foot of him, which I think Leeds have a good track record of keeping Lucas the Copcat out of the way. And I'm now trying to think of when did I last see Lucas the Copcat? I know there was a meet and greet. They did a new thing, didn't they, where you can like track his movements before a game and you can go and get your face painted at certain times or have a meet and greet with Lucas the Copcat. But we've done a lot of laps of honour this year and I've never seen him getting involved. You'd think he'd be all over that.
Maybe Farker hates him.
Maybe this is it. Maybe he's like Nigel Pearson when he broke the jaw of those wolves in the forest. Farker has a similar history when he's riding on horseback chasing snow leopards about on the tundra.
Can I just recommend that everybody just takes a moment to Google Bungle Rainbow, and on the Google image search, wait till you see a picture of the original Bungle. It's not a big cuddly teddy bear. It's absolutely terrifying. The very first Bungle.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Yeah, very small. Looks like he's been beaten up or something. He's got very small pinched eyes. Like there's a lot of swelling around him. Awful. Absolutely awful. Although normal Bungle's a bit weird too. Anyway, should we move on? Should we cover off QPR stuff first? I've not got any Leicester stuff because...
Because why subject yourself to it?
I've just ignored the whole thing, really. I think it's the best way. I mean, we can't criticise that bloke for talking. I mean, I'm sure he spoke about Leeds for like an hour yesterday because it's all he seems to do. But, you know, we can't really ever go at him and then talk about Leicester ourselves for too long, can we? So
let's just move on. To just ignore them. Make fun of them once we're in with a chance of beating them. And then when we've lost, just ignore it.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way of doing stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have to engage with it at all.
And then he's probably, you're right, have been a lot of, well, we know what his material is, wanking over Leeds not yet going up and then winning the title. And the thing to do is just not to listen to any of it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Just pretend it doesn't exist completely. Like same as Michael with his children. Sorry, that was a bit bleak, wasn't it?
It's a bit harsh, but...
just in case the authorities are watching or listening, he does look after them sometimes.
I do a very good job. Should we listen to a QPR fan anyway? Don't worry, there's only one bit of it.
Right, okay, fine.
Hoopsa.
I don't know what kind of parallel universe we've just entered, but last night Queen's Park Rangers thrashed Leeds United 4-0 at Loftus Road, not only eliminating Leeds' title hopes and potentially throwing their automatic promotion chances into question, but at long last officially confirming QPR's safety in the Championship for another season. They got themselves a win just at the right time on Monday with a 4-3 victory away at Borough, and that was a stark reminder of the attacking damage that they can do. And I've got to be honest, I couldn't see past a loss here. This was, in theory, a Premier League team in waiting, one that spent £33 million in the last summer alone, and provided our goal difference didn't take too much of a hit, I couldn't have bemoaned that result. What an absolute treat then, that from the moment of the first whistle until the last, Marty Cifuentes' unchanged QPR side would drop the most complete performance of his tenure to date. Honestly, barely anyone put a foot wrong. It was such a classy and dominant display.
Well, I'm glad you've had a nice time.
Was that AI? Because none of it sounded particularly real. And then
I think he was reading off a script, Moscow.
Yeah, and then the music in the background made it sound like somebody was like teaching me how to set up a Packard Bell computer or something. Like, first you need to... Now you've inserted your CD-ROM, it's time to press the start menu.
Can I ask, did you ever buy a Packard Bell computer at the time when Leeds were sponsored by them? Because, you know, in the same way that when Man United were sponsored by Sharp, for example, and then Sharp ViewCam, you'd avoid those things. But did you ever gravitate the other way and buy things that Leeds kind of... Did you buy a Thistle Hotel, for example?
No, but I mean, I was aware of the prices of a Packard Bell computer.
Yeah.
I bought glory days of buying a PC for £30 from a charity shop and then finding a monitor in the street. that sorted me out. So then looking at the cost of a Packard Bell was probably equivalent to the cost of a small car at that time. So
about the same size, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Loyal to this podcast, I remember our first computer was a Dan computer. Do you remember them? They were a brand around that time.
But I think at some point I did fly Dan Air when I was a kid.
It had a 1 gigabyte hard drive.
Oh,
the most you won't need any more than that.
That's loads.
Like ever.
Yeah.
Was basically what we were told.
I can remember having my Amiga 500 and upgrading it to a full meg.
Oof. That was a RAM though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Shit off a stick.
Yeah. It was wild. Absolutely wild. Anyway, we're doing that old people talking about old things thing. So let's move on. And should we engage with the youth?
Who?
The whole boy.
Well, the whole boy's not... He is young. Clearly he's young. But he's not...
Basically, he's a boy.
He's a boy.
That's his name.
And he's very fresh-faced. But he's not like a traditional young YouTuber because he just is all over the place. But in a way that I actually really, really enjoy. This is some pre-game stuff. And this is...
It's just worth rewinding just a bit. It was the whole boy was very enthusiastic about coming to Elland Road, wasn't it? And was ringing his grandma and granddad. Grandma, I'm off to Elland Road.
You'll hear grandma in this clip, but just
she loves hearing from him.
Just the complete random nature of all of this stuff is just lovely.
Right then, off we pop. I am bricking it.
Middleton. Sounds like a pub name, that. If you stuck Arms on there, Middleton Arms, that sounds like a pub. I'll tell you something, old rap, I'm not talking about like all this drill stuff, but old rap is incredible. Listen to a bit of Tupac, Biggie. It is good music.
Now we're joined with Grandma. Score predictions, Hull versus Ipswich.
Hull to win 2-1.
Well done, Grandma.
All over the place.
I would have wanted Grandma's views on old school rap.
She prefers the drill.
Yeah.
More recent stuff.
But he is right, the old school rap is good.
There you go then.
Yeah.
It's good music.
Maybe he's an old soul. Maybe
I don't think I don't think he's in Middleton in Leeds. There must be another.
There's a few Middletons.
I was going to say, there must be a more Hullish one.
Like Beeston, Nottingham, the imposter Beeston.
Mm. Did you follow the whole Ipswich game at all? I just had notifications on for it. I didn't watch it.
I promised I wouldn't watch it and then watched it.
Right.
Maybe, I think it was the second half. I didn't watch it all, but I found myself checking the notifications so frequently, sorry, that I thought it's just the obvious thing here to do is just to watch it on telly. Stop being silly. Stop pretending. Just watch it.
There were no real advantages to be found in that game because Ipswich, although they only drew, still looked very good. And then also Hull, who still the chance of playing in the playoffs, they also looked good. And none of those things help us.
I mean, hopefully, yeah, because West Brom managed to lose Sheffield Wednesday, didn't they? Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't work West Brom out because they were really good against Leicester when they should have beaten them if they'd scored just some goals, which is familiar. And then, obviously, they've given us a rough ride so far this season. But yeah, Carlos Corberan, I've said before, never seems to look like he's enjoying himself down there. They've got Agent Mowat, you'd hope he would, and Bartley as well, the pair of them, if we come up against them in the playoff semi-final, you'd hope they'd do the decent thing and just score a few own goals.
So the permutations, actually, the final games, which you've got Norwich are travelling to Birmingham and they are probably already in the playoffs now because they have a 3-point advantage over Hull and a superior goal difference, whereas it's West Brom that Hull can catch, isn't it? There's a 2-point difference there, but West Brom have got the superior goal difference. So you need a Hull win at Plymouth and then you need a West Brom something against Preston in the final day. But they've lost 3 on the bounce of West Brom.
Mm. Just the kind of form that they can turn around in the playoff semi-final.
But this game was stupid. It was a lot of back and forth. And this is all the goals compressed into a couple of minutes just to hear the emotional journey that the whole boy went on throughout this day.
Oh, no! 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 It's gutting. Because we've been playing well. Upsets me seeing the players we've had this season, and I don't even like blame anyone. We just haven't settled in well, but I don't think we'll ever get a team this good in the Championship. Come on, that was for you Leeds fans. I'm not saying that.
Just don't let them score.
What a goal. I mean, what a goal. There's nothing you can say to goals like that. To be truthful, when that equaliser went in, it's probably the most celebrated a goal all season. It gave us a glimmer of hope. Now, I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but you just look back at all the chances we've had this season. Biggest 35 minutes of this season. Yes! The lab! Come on, onside. Okay. Come on, relax. Come on! Come on! He has as well.
A little bit of momentum gone now. I feel sick. Genuinely, in January, I think we're going to get automatic promotion. How we've done this, no idea.
Season over due to another floppy mistake. Absolutely incredible attendance. Just a shame about the result. She's not over yet. We keep positive. I regret anything I said in the last 10 minutes. The season is still on. We're getting playoffs. Championship football, eh?
Wow. That is the roller coaster, baby.
The bargaining you do with yourself. You're like, such a shit. I don't even blame anyone. I can't wait, fuck this. We're back. No, we're not. We're losing. I hate it. It's great.
What's 55 minus 39?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Okay, let's work it out.
You tell me.
So 16.
14.
26.
No, 55. So 39 plus 1 16, is 14.
Yeah. 16, yeah.
Well, yes, 16. I thought 14. I thought you were trying to play a trick on me, but I guess it's 16. No. So, yeah, the thing that stood out to me in that, so the two things were that, yeah, when he said, oh, they've done it again, the two of those Ipswich goals were absolute top corner bangers, which also didn't make me feel great. But yeah, when he said that, oh, in January, I thought we'd get automatic promotion. It was 6th of January, just random date. They were 7th and 16 points off second place. And we were like, what, 7 points off second place? And we were going, oh, I don't think we'll do that. So he's optimistic, that's for sure. As I guess we heard.
He thinks they'll never get a team this good again.
Well, that's less optimistic. I'm pretty sure Hull can do that again. Either keep the, like, who's, I mean, they're funny because they're obviously good, but I don't know. A club's going to come and like.
They've got some good loanees, haven't they? They've got like Cavalio and that left back from Luton, Giles. They've got him.
You so just get some more.
Yeah.
That's what I think about us next season, where there's all the panic about, oh, Somerville will go and Nyanto will go. We'll just loan some good players. We panicked when we, after the Derby playoff and Pontus was off. Oh, what we're going to do? Loan some Nomark from Brighton, who's only been at Newport in his life, and he's the best player in the all four divisions. So well,
the guy banging him into the top corner strips, which is on loan from Chelsea, isn't he?
Right.
Amari Hutchinson.
Yeah, and Leicester's got Fatawu is on loan as well, and they want to sign him, or they've got the deal to sign him, but they can't because they are the one righteous punishment that is restricting their activities is that they can't sign anybody, which I think they should impose for 100 years.
Just diving into the bookmarks, I probably can't use anymore, but this is a Hull fan who tweeted at the, well, it's 3 weeks into February saying, people will think I'm nuts, but I've been checking out the fixtures for the remaining top five teams. I think if we can keep on winning and keep up this amazing form, we can get crash second place. Stranger things have happened in football. The gap is now 20 points. Just
if you assume you're never going to lose another game, then yeah, you can close most gaps.
But there is a very real chance they could knock us out of the playoffs if this goes bad. So I'll keep my powder dry on that one again as well.
Yeah, be quiet. Be quiet.
Where are we going now, Michael, on the Magical Mystery Football Tour?
Millwall are doing well, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They've survived. They've got the old aquatic mammal back in charge. Everything's happy down there.
Aquatic mammal.
Beat Plymouth at the weekend. They're like top of the form table, I think, in Millwall now. They've won loads in a row. So it's obviously going to be a great, happy atmosphere down there, except it's sort of not.
Right.
Because there was a pitch invasion for no apparent reason when they beat Plymouth at the weekend. And this is, which is a great YouTube account, Julio Cesar Reyes Cunha. This is him looking on as the pitch invasion goes on, and you can hear some Millwall on Millwall action.
What the fuck are you doing, man?
Get off!
Too much now, man!
What?
Look at that and talk to him.
I know. Look at this idiot!
I would have gone on the pitch, but I would have left by now. Like,
yeah.
The pitch, I would have left the pitch by now.
Yeah, same.
Just a lot of noise.
Just a fight. Just a fight for no reason. Like, you've stayed up. You've had a nice end to the season, but just scuffles. And the basically the last person on the pitch, because I think they're trying to clear it because, you know, end of season, last home game, they normally do a little lap
of appreciation
and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But really, really touching scene unfolding on the pitch there is there's a lad of probably about 11 whose dad is pretending to snort the white line while he takes a picture.
The Robbie Fowler.
And that's why they're the last people on the pitch and getting a lot of abuse shouted at.
Right. I was going to say, do we need to reframe our thinking here? Because Millwall have finished 16th in the Championship, or likely will do, or thereabouts. We used to hate finishing 15th every year.
It's comfortable, though, isn't it?
But they had a pitch invasion for finishing like 15th, 16th, 17th.
I think in the Championship it's a bit strong, but I have been an advocate previously that if we're in the Premier League and we stay up, we should get the open top bus out.
Every time?
Yeah, celebrate it. Set yourself a target. Like when we say, all right, this year we're going to finish top half.
Mm.
And then once top half is secured, have a celebration.
Yeah, if you get to 10 wins.
Yeah, something like that. Have a little trophy made as well.
Yeah.
Because why not? You can do it. You can absolutely...
You can do what you want.
Yeah, you can. You don't have to say, you know... And it's because the Premier League, as we know, is so difficult now to win because of all the money and the unfairness. So you just say, right, we can't win the Premier League, but we'd like to win something. So let's just say, like, we'll have a trophy made and say, yeah, if we get to 10 wins, we'll take it around the city and have a party. Because I think any excuse to have a good time is a good excuse. So go for it. Don't worry about it. People say, oh, Leicester fans will mock you. Don't care. They're not, what are they doing? They're not drinking and partying and dancing in the streets, are they? Seeing Home Full of Crisps. So, and singing Kaiser Chiefs songs badly. So there's lots of things to do. So if the Millwall fans want to set the target, like, yeah, if we stay up, we have a party, fine, fair play, crack on.
A party and a bit of a scrap.
Yeah, I mean, that's very much a Millwall thing, isn't it? So, but I can't. We've got to respect different cultures and how they express themselves.
What you mean is you don't want to get your head kicked in?
Should we stick with Dreadful Cockneys
for a little
while? Go, John Terry.
Yeah.
Simon Jordan, he interviewed Jesse Marsh earlier in the season, didn't he? He's continuing interviewing the least self-aware people in the world and has gone with John Terry this time around.
Yeah.
Some clips of this have been going around a little bit on social media, but do you want to hear John Terry talking about player power at Chelsea?
Yeah, definitely.
So there's all these kind of rumours that player power at Chelsea was too big. It wasn't. It genuinely wasn't, because when I was there was managers in charge. So Mourinho was in charge. Anything higher than that, Abramovich was in charge. It was very clear as us group of players. Anything in the dressing room was my, Lamps, Didier, the senior players' responsibility to control that. Right. Was very clear. So when ABB come in, I'll give you a little story. We went to Hong Kong, I think. When he was first manager, we get on the plane, we get on, and I'm sitting in economy on a 13-hour flight. Mm-hmm. And we've got Josh McEachran, Nathaniel Chalobah, a couple of other young players, all in first class. And this is part of ABB's going, no player's bigger than me.
Right.
Everyone's the same. So I get on the plane. It turns out that Lamps is flying out first class, and I'm flying back in first class, and Lamps goes, so if you fly at home first, you come back business or economy, premium economy, whatever it was. But basically, it wasn't good enough. So I'm going on the plane going, no, we're not going anywhere until these young players go back in economy and the first team players that have built this club to where we are today go back in first. And we're on the plane, people's up and down, AVB comes up, what's the problem? I'm going, well, we're not going anywhere until the young players move. And to be fair to the young players, they're going, this JT is really uncomfortable, we'll go back. And I'm going, no, it's not your decision. He has to own it as AVB. So this is one of his first things in front of everyone. In the end, it spins, so all first team players fly first, younger players go back, economy. That's how it should be.
Can you believe that John Terry has revealed himself to be a twat?
Player power wasn't too big at Chelsea, but there was that one time I completely made everyone redo a seating plan because I wasn't happy.
Can you imagine you just want to go on holiday? And you're on that plane. And all this is going on.
It's not allowed to take off.
Yeah, this plane ain't going anywhere until the Chelsea youth team is sitting here. You're like, I had to get here 4 hours ago to check in. I'm tired. I've got like a 14-hour flight. Can we just go? And then I don't want to have to go back to the gate. All that going on just because John Terry wants to sit in a big seat.
As well, the thing about the youth players were actually fine with it. They were saying, this is just really awkward. It's like, yeah, you made it really fucking awkward, John. And the other people, the more reasonable people, have just gone, we've all been there in a situation where you go, you know what, fine. Like, let's just fucking get this moving. Like, I don't agree with it, but whatever. Let's just,
it's a principle.
This person's clearly the biggest prick here. So if he wants to be the biggest prick, let him be. And we'll just all set off, shall we? Because it's premium economy. It's fine.
Nah, it's a principle. You might want to move, but it's not your decision to move. He's got to say you're going to move.
He's got to own it.
It's a principle.
So with that brilliant man management in place, he talks then a bit about his own management career, and he's not that he's being entitled or anything, but he feels like he should have been given a really good job by this point. I guess because in some ways Lampard has been, probably. But this is him talking about his management career.
Had a really good meeting, come away thinking, oh my God, that's mine.
Nailed it.
Yeah, that's mine there. Got on really well with the sporting directors and all of that. Got the message, went really well, just a little bit inexperienced. Mm-hmm. Same with another one, just no experience. So I'm sitting there going, how do I then get this experience? Like, to be honest, I didn't really want to go as low as League One, but I promise you, Sunderland was such a good...
It's a big club.
Sunderland was getting up that year.
It's a big club, yeah.
That's the one I feel that kind of got away, that would have given me a promotion straight away, and I'm on my way after that. So now I'm kind of not even getting phone calls within that to go and interview with right. teams, with owners, with all of that. Am I looking a little bit? I'm yeah. not throwing myself out there. And again, this is where a little bit of me as a character, should I be going, I want this job, and throwing my... And I'm a little bit like, if someone wants me, I think they should come to me a little bit.
Yeah.
Now that you've probably got a different view on that,
but
I just think where I've been and the career I've had, I'm not saying I want to manage Chelsea player, Football though. Club. Yeah, no, as a player. But also that still carries a little bit of weight.
Of course it does. It gets you in the door.
Absolutely.
You don't get your job.
No, it doesn't. But then it's down to me then.
Right.
But after that meeting, it's down to me. It's on me.
No one's ringing me. I can't think why.
Jeez.
People say, you need to get some experience, but I'm not willing to do that, is the gist of it. Yeah. So,
and what he wants for his experience is a team that is good enough to get promoted.
So
whoever
can,
is the
so
manager,
can fuck off.
Whoever is the manager, so that he can. Sunderland were going up that year. Mm. I should have had that job, so I could just stand and watch them get promoted, and then go, I did that,
and then presumably try and get a better job off the back of it.
What I'm looking for is a job where I don't have to do anything. But I turn up on the last day, full kit, and lift the trophy.
Then I'll be on my way, is what he's...
His lack of self-awareness is absolutely remarkable, and the entitlement that underpins it all.
I mean, it's not at all surprising either, is it?
No, when he was talking in that first clip about him and Lampard, him and Lamps and all the rest of them running the dressing room, imagine what an insufferable set of bellends they must have been.
I am quite intrigued at how much of this you've listened to, but because I remember the Jesse Marsh one, Simon Jordan was kind of like, let me give you a football chairman's perspective on your prospective employment. Mm-hmm. It was kind of breaking down to him, here's why... Based on your record, I would not employ you. Is there any of that? Because there was a bit of it there with John Terry where he's like, yeah, you've done a lot as a player. And Terry's like, yeah, actually get me something. He's like, well, it's not going to get you something. Like, I am the person who would employ you and it'll get you in the door, but then I'm going to go, fuck off, John.
He seemed to think he should have got the Sunderland job as well because he'd done some research before the interview.
You mean he watched the Netflix documentary?
Was the other bit of it. He's like, you know, I knew about all the players and stuff. It's like, yeah.
That's fucking, kind of the job.
That's like interview prep. Yeah. But he didn't turn up with like some medals to show to a job interview.
Oh,
like,
I got these. And then if these boys listen to me, they'll get some as well.
Jesus, what a dreadful, dreadful bastard. Anyway, he's not going to get a job, is he? Based on that, because he's going to just expect, he's expecting like, you know, Real Madrid to ring him.
Yeah, if someone wants me, nobody wants you. That's the problem. That's what you're missing.
And they're not in the Championship or below, then I may speak to them.
Could you imagine him on a night out?
Well,
how long do you reckon you would last on a night
well,
out?
That's when you become the youth player, where you end up going, fine, John. Just, yeah, all right. Let's just move on. You end up apologising to a bouncer. Look, sorry. Look, we'll just do what you want. And do you know what? In fact, I'm just going to go home. Going to go home because I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
And it's going to end up with you starting arguments with people because they've disrespected you in some way.
I mean, we know what night out with John Terry's like because we remember the one in September 2001, where he went out boozing that day and went another incident to an airport. Where was it? Heathrow?
Yeah.
So we kind of get the flavour of what it would be like to go boozing with John Terry from that.
He does talk a bit in length in the interview as well, actually, about the horrible impact that his racism had on him. That was a real tearjerker when he starts talking about that. He said, it was really, really difficult for me after I did that.
Yeah.
But he basically said that because a criminal court cleared him, that should have been the end of it. So different levels of proof and whatnot. So, it's so relatable, the whole thing.
It truly is one of life's victims, isn't he?
Oh, completely, yeah.
Absolutely. Poor fella.
But there was only one interesting bit left to come from this interview.
Very difficult. I just remember standing looking over Moscow in my hotel. I was on about the 25th floor, just asking why.
Come on then, spill the beans.
Why?
Why were you in his hotel room? And why was he looking over you?
Well, I mean, he didn't get any answers at the time. I don't got no further comment to make now. Same thing. Just silence.
He was looking over you.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Where now?
Let's stick on the Simon Jordan Jesse Marsh train, if that's the thing. On the rise, he's a Canadian YouTuber. Jesse Marsh has been linked with a Canada job at the moment. He's quite enthusiastic about it. The bloke's clearly a danger, just to flag this up. He's got a Chelsea shirt on the wall behind him and a Man United pillowcase. So already, yeah. big warning signs is what I'll say. But he's talking a little bit about Jesse and his time at Leeds. And we'll just have to see if we agree with it or not.
As he did start with Red Bulls in the MLS, then going to the likes of Red Bull Salzburg, and then going to Leipzig, where he only managed 20 games before making the switch to Leeds United, which arguably, that happened way too soon in his managerial career. Yes, you can look at Leeds United and say he had an extremely rough time, and I have a best friend who is a Leeds United fan. He has a season ticket holder, and he said that Jesse Marsh side with Leeds was just way too soon. It was too early of a job for him, and they don't hold any of that really against him. He just wasn't great with Leeds, but that was down to him taking that job on too soon. And Jesse Marsh has a very exciting kind of play style. Tactics, he likes to set up in a 4-2-3-1 with playing very narrowly and playing down the focus and down the middle of the pitch, leaving the wide spaces very open at times, as my mate from Leeds did let me know.
Yeah.
Do we not hold it against him?
What, for taking the job? No. For having it? Yes.
For the job he did?
For what he did in the job? Yeah.
When would be a good time for Jesse Marsh to have the Leeds job? I mean, he's 50, isn't he?
Never.
Yeah.
Give it another 50 years.
I sort of do hold it against him because we know how long the talks went on that Victor Orta had started talking to him about this for 18 months. So we had 18 months from before we were even promoted to watch Leeds United under Bielsa and come up with a way of following that. And he didn't. He just did what he was going to fucking do anyway. I mean, he's also interviewing for the South Korea national job as well at the moment. So the stories go. Apparently, he's one of three candidates and is in line for like interview number two to take over from Jurgen Klinsmann, who's left that job. But it seems like he's kind of trying to get his oar into like the World Cup, essentially.
Would recommend people have a quick dive into the Training Ground Guru podcast. There's a two-part with René Maric, who was obviously working on his staff. I think it's in part two. It's about 36 minutes in, and it lasts for about sort of 2 or 3 minutes and addresses Jesse's time at Leeds. And Maric is actually, I haven't got the clip here, but he's remarkably diplomatic about it. And he actually, funnily enough, he touches on the underlying metrics as to why Marsh was chosen in the first time. It basically revolves around running around a lot, and that's it.
Fair enough. Should have given it to John Terry.
I mean, he's earned it.
He has earned it, yeah.
Just, well, because he's John Terry.
He'd have been received as well as Dennis Wise, wouldn't he?
My main memory of John Terry's career in coaching is that when we gave the goal back to Aston Villa, that he wouldn't stop just chuntering on a Bielsa about it, even though we'd already let them equalise. He wanted to keep it going. So that's all I remember of. All I remember of him as a player is him being a horrible bastard. And then I remember him as an assistant coach is him just being a horrible bastard.
Because if there's one thing that John Terry stands for, it's fairness.
I get my
inequality.
I seem to get my own way a lot, but everyone constantly thinks I'm a bell end.
It's exactly the same situation as those youth players saying, we'll move. Bielsa saying, right, we've given you the goal back. He's like, yeah, you should have back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, we've given you the goal.
You need to own it.
It's 1-1. Yeah, but it's all fucking good. Yeah. What more do you want? Do you want another goal? Yeah.
Just despicable, man. In my opinion.
Well, I think there's enough in his history to show.
I think I'd get away with a fair comment defence on that one.
I would anyway. Say so. Yeah.
Right. So are we sticking with more Blues then, are we here?
Well, Birmingham.
Yeah.
Chatting Blues. Well, I initially got into this because I was trying to find some miserable Huddersfield fans, but they were all sort of too miserable, like, and reasonable about it. They're all like, yeah, this has been coming for ages. I wanted a bit more anger, you know. But I did think in drawing with Birmingham, because they also needed to win that game, they're now right on the verge of going down as well. And it made me think back to us playing them in our first away game of the season.
Yes.
And how happy they were. And this bit of official commentary that followed that game.
A huge moment for the history of Birmingham City Football Club. St. Andrews, primed to erupt. Poised in waiting. They've thirsted for this moment. Djukovic!
Get in!
And just listen to this place! Just listen to this place! The sound of revived St. Andrews! Roaring loud and proud again! A club resurrected! A fan base reborn!
And just to follow up on something I've been talking about in recent weeks, on their Twitter profile, it still does say on the rise again as they sit 22nd in the league. So it does continue, does that theme just continue right through the club?
Mm.
And they are, yes, 22nd on 47 points and facing Norwich at home on the final day of the season, where a defeat will relegate them.
I think even a draw will relegate them, won't it?
And yes. Tyler Roberts' hat-trick will keep them up.
Mm. Maybe so. Or maybe Tyler Roberts will be a League One footballer next year. Thought we were going to defend him then, Moscow. No. Okay. Fine. following that game, shall we hear from... We've got two clips from Chatting Blues, one from that game early in the season, one from the weekend. Admittedly, the Birmingham accent doesn't lend itself to emotional highs and lows. It sounds kind of similar, so you have to actually listen to the content of what's being said, because the delivery is almost the same, whether or not it's the best day of your life or the worst. But let's have a listen to them both.
Like I said to once the Blues, I did, and like I'd like to like. I think that was more out of positivity. Yeah, I think if I'd give you my truthful answer, I'd have said a draw. You know, I would have said a draw. So to come away 1-0, and it just felt like on the day, it just felt like the whole day, the whole experience. I mean, I was in the roost before the game, and you know, like that, Tom Brady, Gary Cook, and Wagner. They all come from I think they tried to get through the bar, got kind of mobbed, and then they came around the back, and there was just. I did actually put the photo of them up on my Twitter account on Chatting Blues. They just got in, and then they kind of got mobbed. And now the whole day, man, just felt like just a completely different atmosphere. And, you know, I don't know about anyone else. Like, we didn't look like losing. And, like, just like I said before, the footballing gods were looking down on us, man. And it just, the whole day was unbelievable, man. You know, I'd like to go into a little bit more detail about it as well, but
yeah, I mean, I think you've said it there.
Just want to cut it off.
Yeah.
Just need a hug, Brummies, don't they? Just generally, if you ever see a Brummie, just give them a hug. They'll need one.
Mm. But that was the best. That was after their best day of the season.
Yeah. So it sounds like he's really tell he's tired from
he
a really
was yeah. loving it. So he sounds basically the same now, but actually miserable.
NS Rowling says, been following Blues for 54 years and I've seen some shite, but this bunch that represents the club are the weakest sick cowards I've seen. If relegated, this is on everyone down there. Yeah, I totally agree, mate. You know, we've been in these kind of positions over the last 10 years, probably six or seven times, do you know what I mean? We've always got out of it. But like I say, we've always had players what have got fight. You know, they haven't been the most technical or the or you know, we haven't. Listen, they're just battlers. Do you know what I mean? Blues have always been known for that, and just getting us over the line. These bunch just don't look arse, mate.
He sounds happier there than he did in the first clip.
Like I say, there's very little in the way of tonal difference. But
probably easier to process the misery. More comfortable with it, whereas happiness, beating Leeds, Tom Brady, all that stuff is a bit like too overwhelming for the average Brummie. So it's just kind of safer to be, I hope for their sake that they do get relegated, because if they have to like celebrate staying up, I don't think you'll have to just lie down in a darkened room for several days.
Do you want the Tyler Roberts quiz? It's only got one question.
Yeah.
Do you know how many goals he scored this year?
I think it's one.
No, it's none.
Okay. Am I thinking of assists?
You might be thinking of assists.
He's been injured for most of the season, I know this much. He's not had many minutes.
Okay.
Do you remember when John Eustace was in charge of Birmingham when we lost at the start?
It's going well then, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the quotes from after the game. The new owners came into the dressing room just as I was coming out and congratulated the lads. It's great to see Tom Brady in there as well. Tom spoke to the group before our meeting. It's great to have one of the most famous sporting people in the world come down and chat to the group. You can see his presence at the club. The vision he's got for the football club is amazing. The boys
and what was that vision?
The boys were outstanding with and without the ball. All right, okay. Tactically, you have to be spot on against an excellent Leeds team, and the level of concentration and the way the boys went about their business was superb.
It wasn't an excellent Leeds team. One of the things that struck me about the end of the QPR game was the way that Gilhart and Shackleton were sort of resurrected as if we were back at St Andrews.
Yeah.
And then that team also, defenders was Strauch and Creswell. Herveda was at number 10. Mm-hmm. It was a right old funny little lineup. So I don't think we were at our strongest. But yeah, it was kind of amongst the bad feelings of losing to QPR was sort of like those bad memories being nothing against. I was quite pleased to see Joffy and always a lot of time for Shacks. But yeah, just being reminded that that's where we started and we haven't actually moved, well, 90 points between us and then. But there they were again.
It did feel a bit like the
start Joffy on Saturday, though.
The Joffy sub was a bit Izzy Brown in the playoffs, how it felt. It was like, not really seeing this guy. He's done nothing all season, but.
Yeah, give him a go. And that's what
Let's
I mean.
See.
Starting, everyone wants Matty O'Joseph in on Saturday, but Joffy's got us out of scrapes before. Remember him at the end of the Premier League season, keeping us up. If we could also have Rafinha, like those two things.
Yeah.
I suppose we still technically own Jack Harrison, and if Everton are safe, bring him back for a bit of the Brentford action. So do those things, yeah. So if we start with a forward line of Rafinha, Gelhart and Harrison against Southampton on Saturday, I think we'll probably be given the title because they'll end up knocking points off of Leicester.
I will say this, I don't think I've seen Tom Brady down at Birmingham since. Do you?
No. Well, it did emerge that he doesn't really own much as well, didn't it? He was just quite famous. Yeah. He had nice teeth.
Yeah, turned up in his white jeans.
We'll anyway. Have a look at him. But I did.
We'll learn that lesson if any of these golfers and basketball players and NHL players start turning up at Elland Road next season. We'll just be very circumspect, very careful. I'll get carried away and certainly won't be lulled in by them buying rounds for people in the pubs and doing all the photo shoots, all the photo opportunities and stuff. We won't fall into that trap.
No, but we know what they are at Leeds. We know they're minor investors. This was like
at a secondary level. They were making it out like Tom Brady was running the show.
Yeah, it was kind of Tom Brady's come in and this is his main project.
This is his vision.
He lives for Birmingham City.
Okay, then our sports, famous sports investors are great. Tom Brady's not. So that's clearly how it works.
I think it did emerge as well in recent weeks that Tom Brady was invited to become part of one of ours, in which case we might have said, oh, that's good.
I think it's probably at the point where it'd be more surprising if a sports star had not.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, on to...
Well, no, just following that Birmingham game, I think it's probably just worth reflecting on the Leeds reaction after it as well, because to consider where we are now and how we maybe, or certainly some people thought, maybe the season was panning out after that game.
Birmingham City finished 17th in the Championship last year. We've got nothing going forward. When Rutter came on and then started drifting to the left corner flag, I just thought it was unbelievable. At the moment, I'm wondering if we're going to be able to have enough to even get into the playoffs, never mind automatic. I think we might be looking at a mid-table finish. Just not good enough.
Evening, lads. I've had a pint and I've had a curry, so
If now's not prime reflection time, there never is one. I can't believe, having had Premier League money for 3 years, we fielded an 11 that bad. Four lads up top who weren't good enough last year, so got loaned out. It was an ample do away from a League One side that today, wasn't it? If that team from today played the whole season, we're going down, I think.
There's only one word that can describe today. Well, two words, really. Fucking inept.
When that penalty went in, I weren't angry. I was just disappointed. It's just been shite from the word go this season. I know we're only two games in, but wow, it does look bad. Anyway, Friday night, West Brom. Make sure you get absolutely bladdered before the game because you don't want to watch that shower of shite.
I've heard a lot of Leeds fans say this summer, things like, or Rooter and Dan James, they're going to tear up the Championship. Oh, they're great options in the Championship, those two. What's that based on? What have they ever done in a Leeds United shirt? Yes, they're good enough for the Championship. Absolute wank. It's going to be a long season, isn't it? It's going to be a long, long season.
That is the squad of an aggressive transfer window. Fuck my life.
Well, we went and signed Joel Pirro just after that, and then everyone fell in love with him and everyone's happy.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And we are strong enough to make the playoffs.
Well, we definitely have.
Yeah. The season is a very long season.
That is correct.
Three extra games.
And we might have to follow that advice and go out and get absolutely pissed before playing West Brom again. Which is also,
yeah,
I suppose, quite good advice. But I suppose what it's showing is that, you know, things maybe have panned out all right as a whole, even if the last few weeks have been a tough watch.
Are you telling me I should be happy right now?
No, because I'm not either.
Fine.
But I suppose a little bit of perspective might help.
Okay.
As we go into the playoffs.
90 measly points.
I mean, that's the thing. We could end up on the same points total as like the best thing that ever happened under Bielsa. It still won't be enough.
Mm.
Poxy bastards.
Anyway, in terms of reacting proportionately, should we go to Liverpool then next?
Yeah, let's just finish on Liverpool, because I mean, part of the thing earlier in the season was like, oh, Liverpool win the league, we win the second tier, because that's happened in the past, hasn't it? That's not happening now on either front. They lost to Everton. This is them going 1-0 down to an admittedly quite dreadful bit of defending.
Keystone Cop stuff. This is horrible! That is absolutely appalling! Hell on earth! Lads, this is ridiculous. They should hang their heads in shame. The state of that defendant. The state of it. Three times they could have cleared it. Three! And then it ends up we concede a stupid goal that my dog would have saved.
It's fair enough. So this is Klopp's swan song, his final Merseyside derby. They're all just, it's been great. Been a great time, hasn't it, with Klopp in charge? Let's face it, won European Cups, won the league again eventually. He's completely rebuilt the side.
Twice.
Yeah. Just a brilliant time they've been having.
I wish we'd have had as bad a time as they're probably going to say.
So should we just hear how it's ending? This is Anfield agenda again into This Is Football. And the love affair with Klopp really, really just continuing to the end here.
Another Everton corner. Look at Salah. He's not even looking around. Cross in. It's 2-0. It's 2-0, you absolute bunch of clueless clowns! 2-0, unchallenged header at the back post. Don't even talk to me about our centre-backs. Why is he smiling? Klopp is smirking. He's actually smirking on the sideline. What am I looking at? Calvert-Lewin jumps with nobody near him. Uncontested header, 2-0 Everton, and our manager thinks it's time to smile.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Dominic Calvert-Lewin just made it 2-0. Dominic Calvert-Lewin just made it 2-0. Season's done. Season's done. End the season. Smile, Jürgen. Yalla, smile. Season's done. Season finished.
It was just a grin and bear it grin, wasn't it?
It was definitely that. He's not actually happy, is he?
And he needs to get his money's worth out of those Nashers as well.
Well, we never even got onto the Jürgen Klopp's vampire stuff, did we, from Tom Numbers?
No.
The other week.
Please don't subject people to this again.
Well, makes you think, doesn't it? Why is he smiling?
No, Michael, we're not doing it.
Why aren't we?
Although there are sent questions in about this for the member show, so we may touch on it in the member show this week.
Why are you not willing to give this any airtime.
What I will say is we've got an interesting dilemma this week because we assemble the member show over the course of the week. So we'll record the first bit of it after this and we are ahead of the Ipswich game tonight.
Mm.
Then we'll record the second part of it after the Ipswich game, but ahead of the Southampton game.
And then it'll go out after the Southampton game.
And it all goes out after the Southampton game. So we get two bites of the cherry of getting it wrong.
People are going to really want some fresh Leeds United content on Sunday morning, aren't they? As they wake up hating the world.
Well, we've got another three games to look forward to.
I suppose. Two. So, yes.
Well, that is the potentially penultimate propaganda, easy for you to say, of the season.
I wish it was. But it's not, is it?
Because the season obviously comes to a close. Our final game of the season is on Saturday against Southampton and there's nothing after that, is there? So, contrary to what I might have just said.
The end of the season, you'd think, is sort of going to be better for upset fans. But actually, the funniest ones, like Scum fans and Chelsea fans, they've reached the
resignation stage.
The end of it, and they're like, well, we kind of know we're shit now.
That's exactly where I am at with Leeds. Like I was saying, like after we lost to QPR, the best I've slept in months was Friday night into Saturday morning. So I thought, ah, so we've blown it now. And then Saturday comes around, obviously, yeah, Ipswich drop points at Hull, and you think, well, do you know what? There's just a little bit of me thinks maybe. So I'm just trying my best not to buy into the hope too much now, because it is the hope that kills you.
Pretty obviously.
But the other side to this is we've got the weekly show to do on Thursday. So when Coventry dismantle Ipswich tonight, we can be happy on Thursday.
With their three fit players that they apparently have.
Right, well, we will speak to you on Thursday, weekly show. We've got a show with Phil to come up to preview the final game of the season, the very last one in the season against Southampton. Thank you for joining us on Propaganda. Let's see what the next few days bring, shall we? We'll speak soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.